Hi, I'm Janet Shield Scott, and you're listening to JanetFitBeautyStyle.com, a lifestyle talk guide with expert advice on beauty, fashion, wellness, real estate, entertainment, and fun celebrity secrets. Hello, I'm your host, Janet Shield Scott, and today we'll be talking to Katrina Walker, who's gone from abuse to a self-made millionaire. This is October, which is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, so this is definitely the proper time to do with what you're doing. And then I have to disclose that, unfortunately, at one short time in my life, I too was a victim, or, well, how do we say that? Because we're not really a victim. We're what?
Yeah. We are the victim.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say when we're physically or mentally challenged by someone,
mm-hmm,
in a relationship, we're the victim because they're doing the harm to us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As far as the domestic violence, you know, we're being wrong, and we have no jurisdiction over someone if they decide to go out and misuse us, to mistreat us, you know. So, you know, I mean, they're the one that's in the wrong, so we are the victim.
Mm-hmm.
We are the victim. And what happened in my case, you know, Janet, I mean, it started really early in life, in my life, you know, just seeing, being a witness to seeing my mother. And I can remember, sometimes people think that their children can't remember back when they're, I mean, as young as 4 years old. I had two younger sisters, and their father used to beat my mother for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, and I was there to witness it, and it made me feel like, you know, I was a little girl, just, you know, I remember one instance running to the door, and seeing him. It was night, it was dark, so of course, me not knowing what time it is, but I couldn't help my mother. He was on top of her with a closed fist just beating her,
mm-hmm,
so all I could do was just run down the hall into the little closet. That was my little security.
Mm-hmm.
And then just seeing things like him taking her high heel shoes, anything that she liked and loved, and just break every heel off her shoe. I just remember shoes lined up along. We lived in a little small duplex with the neighbor on the other side of us, or taking her. I remember she had this stereo.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting this stereo for her. He pulled the whole inside out of the stereo. And I can remember another instance where my sister was in bed with my mother, and he worked at the place they call like a correctional institution where he wore boots. And my mother was in bed with my sister, and he came down in her face while she was asleep with these boots on. So I witnessed all this and seeing women just with black eyes, you know, coming up wearing shades. And I remember my mother telling one of her friends, she's a grown woman, saying she was out. And mm-hmm, someone walked past the table, and she was with him, and said, they called her D, her name was Demetria, and said, D, you sure look pretty. You sure look pretty, because we're down south, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she said she knew when she got home she was going to get her A for it. You know, mm-hmm, this is a grown woman talking, you know, just getting mm-hmm hooked, you know, mm-hmm, by this man. You know, and she was a victim to the violence, you know, until it got to the point that she was mentally messed up. You know, we call it stress. It was a nervous breakdown. She had a nervous breakdown behind that. She was in the yard, on the ground, cutting the grass with some scissors, said that she was down in the valley. So my mother lost it, but she came back around, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was a teenage bride, so when I got married, I always, we looked at shows like what they, it was an old show that used to come on called Lady Kadima.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at that show and thinking that, you know, when I get married and when I have children, you know, this is how it's going to be, you know? I'm going to be a wife, and I just thought it was going to be a little picket fencing.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen for me like that. I was young, I was a teenage bride, and it wasn't that, you know?
Yeah,
not with the man that I married. Little did I know.
Yeah, so you just sort of made the wrong choice in your marriage.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. I did. And I went right into having children and a husband.
Did you see any signs, though, during the courtship of him being abusive?
No, because, like I say, you know, it happened so soon because I went off to college just for a little while. He asked me to marry him, and I got married so quickly, and I was a teenage bride. So, you know, little do you know, as a kid, you're still a kid, so you just, you know, you're going by things you probably see on TV. You don't know that marriage is really a hard thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. But
really,
I'm just saying, did you... But were there any signs like him pulling on you or grabbing you or saying disruptive things to you?
I think in my case, know, because I think that I didn't get a chance to really know him. I didn't know him long enough to, you know, I just went right into a marriage. I went off to college, came right back, and we got married within, I would say, about a couple of months or so. But I didn't have time enough, you know, to get to know this man. You know, if I was 18 years old and he was 19, we were teenagers. And it was like, I was more mature than him. So when he asked me to marry him, I did not know. I really did not know. And the advice that I was getting, even from my mother at the time, you know, when he would stay out all night to the wee hours of the morning, come in the next day, and all the cheating and the infidelity that took place in the marriage. But my mother, her thing was, you know, oh, he's just going to come in there with a long A, you know, lie. You know, but, and other women would tell me, you know, just stay. You know, it's so hard out here. You know, with children, by the time I had four children. And it just, that was so far from the truth.
Because that never happened to me.
My life was so much better, you know, when I could get that baggage out of my life. But like I say, I could have been dead, you know, staying in that marriage.
Yeah, so now let's go to the plan that you got, because a lot of times when women, because in the beginning for a long time, I couldn't understand why is it when I would say to them, why don't you get out of the marriage? Why don't you? And then with myself, I moved to a different town, so I didn't really know too many people. I did have some relatives there, but they all had family living with them. So I felt for myself, there was no escaping. Where could I go? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And I wasn't able to find work at the time at this place, because it was when the market was down and everybody was looking for work. So it's a thing too for some people. How do you get out of it, and how do you make a plan? And what was your plan?
Well, it's like, you know, I love my children. So a lot of things that I put up with, I endured, you know, running down the hall and getting to the point of throwing my children on the top bunk bed. I get on the top bottom bunk bed and bust the door in and throw an iron past my head, my little boy saying, "Duck, Mama." You know, enough should have been enough then, you know, but when we became homeless, you know, when we became homeless and we was pretending at people's house, pretending like we were visiting, but all the time, you know, I'm there because we don't have a place to go.
So do they know that you're visiting, though, or are you just...
No, you know, and just the shame and the embarrassment, you know, and then sleeping on someone's floor, you know, and a roach crawling up my baby when I take her to the restroom. Then I had to come up with something. I landed a job. Bell Express was a young company then, and it came to Memphis, okay? And it had been in service for about 10 years. So during that time, I went out there. I was never too proud or too big, you know, to try to get a job. And I went through a temporary service. I wasn't actually working for the company. So when I went out there, you know, I did what I was supposed to do, and I was a great employee. You know, you knew the Federal Express people, and you knew the people that were temporary. And I'll never forget, I waited. The people liked me, and I waited on them to post a job, you know, within the company. And I heard that they were hiring within. They were going to interview 80 people, and they were going to hire 10 people. So what I did was I put in for that job. I'll never forget, a couple of girls were sitting at the table one day. And Janet, I remember them saying, one of them was talking to the other, they said, "I sure hope she gets a job so she can buy her some clothes."
And
I didn't let anything bother me, because I knew I had four children. So I knew whatever I wore, you know, I was going to wash it. As my mother said, iron it, because she's from the South, and keep it clean. So I did that, you know. But I heard her say that. But I'm going to tell you something, how good God is. When I put in for that job back then, they were going to hire only 10 people. One of those people was two ladies, and one of them was me. When I got that job, I took advantage of getting the job with Federal Express, because back then, the owner, Fred Smith, he would come out to the job. And actually, he had the management and himself. He would talk to us about people, service, and profit. Now, they would always post new jobs monthly so you could move up within the company. But I knew I didn't want to move up within Federal Express. I said, you know what? I'm not Fred Smith, but I know one thing I can do. I can start my own business. And that's what I did. I came up with a plan. I came up with a plan, and I knew that I was going to divorce this man. You know, I wasn't going to stay down in the valley for the rest of my life and have a hard life for my children. You know, that wasn't me.
So at the time when you got the job, you were still with him.
I was still with him when I first got the job.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
When I first got the job. But I came up with a plan, and I knew how to manage my money. Because, see, it was like this. When, as long as I was with him, if a penny came in, put it like this, if a nickel came in or a penny came in, we owed out a dime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because right. it was everything was just all screwed up. But what I did was I learned how to put things to the side. And what I did was I learned how to just make sure I just put like a squirrel some nuts to the side. You know, mm-hmm. and I came up with a plan for me and my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it POP, put it on paper. And that's what I did. I rented. I always started off small because I always knew I had to crawl before I walked. Mm-hmm. And I went and found me a small building. And from there, you know, I just started graduating and moving up. I said, well, what I'm going to do is start a modeling and finishing for little girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I used Federal Express. What I did was eventually from the modeling and finishing, I started keeping children.
Okay.
You know, people start coming to me, mm-hmm. you know. So it started escalating. I came over to plan. I said, I want to make $5,000. Instead of $5,000, I made $20,000. But I was able to leave the company. And mm-hmm. I left it in good standing because I knew, well, what if something happened and I have to ever go back?
So, but when, go back. At what point did you divorce, though? Like, you didn't start the business with your husband.
I divorced right as soon as I saw myself getting up on my feet.
Okay.
You know, getting my children together. I came up with a plan, mm-hmm. and that's when I divorced.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you started the business. And how long did it take you to get the daycare going?
It didn't take long at all. The daycare, immediately. You know, like I said, I went right into it. I used to walk in the rain. It didn't matter. You know, putting out flyers. I put the word out at Federal Express because during that time, you know, they didn't have, like, sites like businesses where people could bring, you know, their children on site or daycare is available, mm-hmm. and they had a hub facility. And I knew that I could, you know, they don't have daycare centers that run 24 hours. I've always been one to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I said, I'm going to keep children 24 hours. They're going to roll in and roll out. And I know that I'm going to provide nothing but quality service. And people knew that I was a good mother,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some of the people that were having children, you know, who were having children around the same time, they knew that I had 4 children and 3 daughters and 1 son. They knew that I was a great mom. So, of course, they wanted to bring their children to me. So I ran an ad within Federal Express as well.
Uh-huh.
But before I knew it, just word of mouth, people started bringing their children. Before I knew it, I had a waiting list.
Wow. So didn't you have to have some type of license or certification or something? For your daycare?
I had to have a license. When I started with a modeling and finishing, which didn't require a license.
Okay.
But once I started keeping children, I had to have a license.
Uh-huh.
I had to have a license,
so,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
You can't just, you know, keep the children. I had a building, and I had to bring that building up to code. And everything that I needed to do, I did it one step at a time till I did it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. And then eventually... your daycare grew. And so at this point, what is so different about your daycare center from any of the others?
What's so different about my daycare center is that, for one thing, like I mentioned, I think outside the box it was 24 hours. So, of course, most
mm-hmm.
daycares would close about 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Mine never closed.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, people that were nurses, people that were going to school and working late hours, people that worked, like, in warehouses, like what they call the facility where they attach packages, you know, that's what made my daycare so different. Not only that, it was a quality center. You know, you didn't have to worry about your children. So much harm, you know, goes on with little children.
That's
so they
right.
were protected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, parents knew that their kids were in great hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had educators there, you know, excellent teachers. And then I always want to step above everybody else. You know, I didn't give them no processed food. Everything was hand-picked. The foods were home-cooked meals. The children, and I had a lot of inner-city children, you know, and I wanted to make sure that my young mothers, I was that young mother once upon a time,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure that those children, when they came into that center, if they didn't get another meal when they got home, they were going to have great meals there at the center. So everything was cooked from scratch, you know. Chickens were boiled, whole chickens, you know.
Mm.
And they ate spaghetti and pinto beans and real corn. Everything was wheat and vegetables, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was from scratch. So the children, it was a wonderful center, you know. And you know, the parents, they just loved it.
Okay. Now let me ask you this then, a 24-hour daycare center, how do you accommodate that?
when you say, how do I accommodate it? Just like, yeah, with like any regular daycare center, you know, the children come in, the shift that the parent works, and you have the teachers there that, you know, for the amount of children that you have that come in. So, you know, it works just like any other daycare center. The children roll in and roll out, and when I say roll in and roll out, it's based on the hours that the parent may work or that parent may go to school.
That's what I, but I mean, just say, for instance, like midnight, you have people that are, because I know you don't stay up 24 hours, so
you you have staff.
Yeah, that are willing to work. Okay, they're willing to work late hours.
It's like any job. You have licensed teachers that works there. Any hours of the day, all day long, you have teachers and you have staff there.
Yeah, no, I know about the day. I'm just thinking about late at night. Okay.
Late at night, you have staff. Staff. Everything is still operated just the same as it would be during the day, except for the children are napping. They're sleeping. After a certain hour, they're asleep, but you still have staff there that's working with them.
Okay.
And also, when people work at your daycare center, you know, I handpick everyone that works at the daycare center. They have to come through me.
That's good.
Have to have a special love for children. Mm-hmm. You have to love children. And what I do is, you know, one thing when you work with me and you work with children, that's something I always love, children and old people. Mm-hmm. So if you don't love children, this is not the place for you. And I let people know that this is special cargo. You know, when people leave their babies with you,
right.
You
know, this is
special cargo.
You've got
to love the children. And I love kids. So
you're
a great hand. And the people that work for me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And this is located in Tennessee? Thank you, Jen.
It's located in Tennessee, yes.
All right. And do you have plans of expanding beyond Tennessee?
Right now, yes. Yes, I am. Right now, I'm looking to put one in Atlanta and also in Virginia. And New York City as well.
Okay. And then you were saying that you started out you wanted to make 5,000, you ended up making 20,000 and so on, and then go ahead with the financial part of it.
And what I'm saying is that, you know, I mean, with me, like I said, you heard me mention earlier, people, service, and profit. I provided quality child care. I didn't just open up a building and put children in there just for money, you know?
Right.
A quality child care center.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if you provide quality, people know it ain't nothing better than a word of mouth.
That's
right. So people knew that I was good, and they wanted their babies with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. That's a good thing, you know?
Absolutely, because you're right. You hear so many horror stories with daycare and even with the older adult care centers you hear.
Yes, absolutely, you do. And that's what makes me know, you know, being in that business, like if you heard me mention, I love children. I love my own, and I love all children, you know, because they're innocent.
Right.
You know, and that's just how I was raised. You know, you treat children right. And people have this thing, misconception that children going to forget.
Mm-hmm.
But no. You treat them right. You treat them good. They're babies, you know. They didn't ask to come here. And they count on us to treat them right. So
right.
I love children. I do.
And how many days?
I just feel like.
Yeah. How many centers do you have now? I'm sorry. Well, how many centers do you have?
I'm having one that's getting ready to move to open up in Alpharetta, Georgia. So that would be probably the end of December. So I have two, but with all the other things that I have going on, you know, I hadn't been able to just push just daycare. So like I said, again, the requests have come in, so I'm opening up one in Atlanta and Virginia and New York.
Okay. That's where I am now. I actually moved from New York to Atlanta. It's quite different, but you with the two, and then you have other businesses as well. You multiply to other businesses. Katrina, I mean, I'm so proud of you. You've done a great job with
Thank you, Janet. I've had many struggles. Many struggles. My beloved mother's not here, but she's always tell me, she says, Trina, I've never seen nobody go down. She'll hold her hands down on the ground and bring them up. Her little hands were shaking. She said, I've never seen nobody go down and come up. mm-hmm. go down and come up. And that was my life. I said, if Murphy Law, I must be Murphy's Law. Yeah. You know, but I never gave up, and I'm not a lazy person. I don't believe that things just trickle down and fall out of the sky. I believe in God, and I know that he's a good God. He's an able God. But, you know, as long as he gives me a mind, it doesn't matter. I don't let things hold me back. You know, even if I'm a woman, it does not matter. It does not matter. I don't take me being an African-American woman and use that as an excuse. So I got four children. I can't do it. I can do whatever I want to do, and anybody can.
And what gave you this inspiration? I know that you said you believe in God, but what other inspiration did you receive and while you were going through all these trials and tribulations?
Honestly, Janet, with me, myself, when I look back at my life, and when I was born and how I was and how different I was. Mm-hmm. And even at the age of eight, I formed a business. But it was like my sister's gym. I had two younger sisters. If they were sleeping, they had a cousin over, I would wake them up. If my mother left me and my two sisters a quarter piece, there was never enough for me. So it started, I know I was born to this. I would wake them up while they were drooling and asleep. Get up, we got to go, you know. And they're wondering where. But what it was, you know, they were my crew. They had to get the bottles together. And we would walk quite a distance, but I have it already mapped up in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to the store, I'll make them stay out. I'd go in, and I would negotiate a deal. But when I come out that store, I'm going to have dollars. A quarter that they had, they're going to have dollar bills. So mm-hmm. that started from there. And then I was ironing. I was in people. I upgraded. At about 9, I was in people's house ironing their sheets for their bed. So mm-hmm. I kept money. Then about 14, I walked a long way, got a job at this diner. You know, they had me run a third shift. I was a little bitty something, but I was everything. They trusted mm-hmm. me. I was the cook, cooking pancakes, and the greeter. I did the customer service side. I was the waitress. So, you know, this is in me, and it has always been in me. I have never been a lazy person, and I've always been able to figure it out and also fend for myself and help others and show them, you know, mm-hmm. how to do it, how to make money. That's okay. what I've done. That's just me.
And so through all that, your business have grown to multiply to millions, I understand?
Yes, I went from homeless, you know, to becoming a millionaire. I can remember riding a 2 seats in a 15-passenger van with all my children in it and just not knowing what we're going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I went from that to, I remember going up and up from, like I mentioned, making $20,000. So I can remember the first time when I did my taxes, and I can remember my accountant saying $3 million that I had made.
Wow.
So, you know, I just kept going up and up and up. And I can remember going on a lot at a BMW dealership and no one coming out because it was in the depth of the winter. It was cold. Nobody would come out to help me in this mm-hmm. raggedy vehicle. I just wanted to, you know, maybe look. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I worked so hard, you know, and I can remember walking in a dealership in Beverly Hills and purchasing me a Bentley off the showroom floor. But I worked hard.
That's
to
right.
Get to that point,
uh-huh,
you know,
you sure did.
I worked hard. Nobody gave me nothing, and I didn't look for nobody to give me nothing. And I brought my girls up that way, you know. You don't look at what a man is driving. You know, you get out there, you got a brain. You get out there and you work. And don't get caught up in the system. If you have to get on food stamps for a while, don't be on it forever.
Yeah, that's what...
That's temporary.
That's what I was just getting ready to ask you, too, to segue into how this has affected your children's lives and their relationships with men, with the girls with men and the boys with, or the men with women. How has that affected them throughout the years and as adults?
My daughters, they're great. They're doing fine. They are doing fine. For a matter of fact, they have their own businesses. They've followed in their mother's footsteps. They work hard. They know how to survive and make it, and they making power moves. You know, they're business women. They're sitting at the round table, and I often tell them it's bigger than them. You know, my girls are fine. I have a bigger mission. I have to help people. That's uh-huh. what God put me on this planet to do, mm-hmm. is to show folks how I did it. I got the blueprint, and I want people to be able to know that if I did it with four little children, they can do it too. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to show them how I did it from nothing. No banks give me no loan. They give me nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to get out there and figure it out, but I did it. I did it.
Yeah, and so now that all this has happened and now that you're successful, have you found a relationship that you enjoy now or what?
I I have, I'm married again, and I have a wonderful husband, and that's what I try to tell people. You know, you can't base people on, if I base everybody on a previous relationship or a marriage, everybody's not the same, and everybody's not bad.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been married? How long have you been married now?
I've been in this relationship almost 10 years now.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yay. Thank you so much, Janet. Thank you, Janet.
God has truly blessed you in terms of giving you the ability to do the things that you've done. And I think it's great to be able to feel the way that you feel and going out and trying to touch other people's lives.
And amen to that, and also just, you know, being able to tell my truth, the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like this world is based on a lot of lies and a lot of shame. People are ashamed to, you know, but everybody goes through things in life. It's called life, you know. Everybody knows somebody that's maybe on drugs. And that's another thing I want to tap in with you and let, you know, my audience, your audience know that, you know, I have a foundation that I started called the Beast Foundation, which stands for blind eye. And I think so many times that we cover our eye, we see it and we don't see it. You know, just because we're going home and it's not our immediate family, we go home to eat our steak or our meat and potatoes, we don't see, you know, what goes on with other people. It's like we don't see it. We don't care. And we just got to get back to the basics, you know, buying a cup of sugar or speaking to people or just, you know, caring.
Yeah, everything's
more years.
Right, everything's on Facebook and Twitter. Nobody talks to their neighbors.
People are just not like they used to be, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I strive to let people know. You know, we got to get back to the basics of parenting. Because now we're going to be grandmothers if we're not already grandmothers, you know. We just want, you know, better for our children and our grandchildren and show them how to love, because they go on things that they see.
Right, and you're giving back, you said. You're giving back to the community. That's so important that sometimes when people become successful, they don't always give back. So I think you're giving back
to this. Well, one thing about me, I've always vowed that I would never be that lady. It's a term that they used to use when I was younger called free-hearted, and that was always me. Now, you got to be careful about what you do, you know, with your money, okay? Because you don't give a child the money. You teach them. You show them how to fish. Mm-hmm. So if you just give it to them, are they going to really just appreciate it? But there are people out there that really do need help.
Right.
And when the church doors don't open, or no one opens up their doors when it's 0 degrees to let these people in, or just see this man, you know, just crying out for help, you know, somebody's got to care.
Right.
And that's where I come in. I can't do it all, but I'm going to doggone try, you know, to help as many people, and that's what I do that I can.
Okay, well, we're going to get ready to close this up, and just want you to give the listeners out there a few words on domestic violence and on the success of maybe being an entrepreneur, if that's what they desire.
I like to tell my young people to, you know, stay in school, get an education. If the money, they feel the money is not there, do your homework. Do your homework and just, you know, get your education. You know, get your education. And if you desire to be an entrepreneur, you know, I mean, even if you're a young lady, you can do hair. Be the best that you can be, because there's money out there to be made. And if you have to get in that system as far as welfare or food stamps or child care, do it temporarily. Don't look at it as, you know, a thing that you're going to be on forever. Don't let nobody dictate, you know, your life, you know, with a little check. Life is much more bigger than that. And just, you know, stay prayed up and just keep God first in all things and work hard. Don't be lazy, because nothing from nothing equals nothing. Nothing's going to fall out of the sky, you know. And just go for your dream. Work hard, and just a little bit at a time, come up with a plan, and things will work. They will work out for you.
Okay.
And I have a book that's coming out.
All right.
I have a book that's coming out, Down Home Truth. I'd like for them to look at that book the first of next year.
Okay.
And also, they can visit my Facebook. It's Katrina Walker. And also, Instagram, Miss Katrina Walker, MS Katrina Walker. But again, my Facebook is Katrina Walker.
So the Katrina Walker. Okay. Yes. Thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for me. I'm your host, Janet Shields Scott. You've been listening to JanetFitBeautyStyle.com, a lifestyle talk guide with expert advice. For more interaction, log on to my social media sites, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. As we end this, let's take a moment to relax. Take a deep breath, inhale, and exhale. Again, inhale, and exhale. As you go throughout the day, stop and take a pause. Chill and relax. Please keep in mind that all things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Ha 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 ha!